Over the last few weeks, Ed and I and the kids have been in America, and we've seen some incredible places. So we've seen New York, and we shared a bit last week about where we've been. We've, you know, the buzz of New York, and we've seen things in Washington, like the White House. Very topical this week, I think, with it being 9/11. You know, we stood at Ground Zero, and we saw the amazing waterfalls that they've put out there where the towers used to be. And in the middle of all that noise, there's a place of quiet and calm. And it was absolutely incredible to be there. And so you see it on the telly, don't you? And you can then you can just picture it. And I can think, wow, I've been there. But we also went to a city called Chicago. And any movie buffs in here? Interaction, guys. Any movie buffs in here? Yeah. So Chicago is Gotham City. Yeah? Chicago is, you have the river in Chicago, and then you have a road, and then they obviously ran out of space or something, because then they put another road on the top. So when you go into the bottom road, it's really dark and like, ooh, a bit like, you know, Gotham-y. You can imagine the Penguin coming with all his, like, troop out the river and going into the, did I say something wrong? Oh, she's laughing at me. Then, and going into the kind of, the, or coming out the sewers into the roads, and with a bit of an imagination, you're actually on the set in Gotham. And but, you know, I just love America because there's no obstacle that they're not going to overcome. And this is what really struck me about Chicago. So they've got a road, and then they decide they want to do something else. So what do? They just stick one on the top. And there you go, you've got another row of streets, another row of shops, and it's just this amazing place. And I love that there is no obstacle that they will actually not push through. And I just love that about the American audacity. And while I was over there, God really showed me some thoughts. And this morning I want to talk to you about going on an adventure with God. Okay, that's my kind of topic today, is about getting on the adventure. And some of the thoughts are from what other people have shared as we've gone along our journey, and some of the things that God has particularly spoken to me about. But I just want to put it all together in a package so you can take away and get some idea of what this adventure is that God wants you to go on. And, you know, maybe you're being held back from it this morning, and actually what you need to do to get on this adventure and to not be held back. Okay, is that good? So I'm stepping into a new season this year, and I love new seasons. I love autumn because you get the leaves that come down, and you go into the conker trees, you're trying to get the conkers down, and then I love winter because you get the snow, and then I love spring because you get the flowers, and then I love summer because you're ready for the summer, aren't you? So you're ready for a bit of heat after summer. But this year is different for me because on Friday I worked my last ever day for the bank. And I know another lady who on the same day worked her very last day at school. And it's a new season. And with God, I just love it that there's always something to step into. And some of you guys, you know, maybe you've started a new job. Maybe you've started a new school. Maybe you've just gone into a new class. Maybe your kids have gone back to school. You're getting back into the packed lunch, washing routines and everything. Or maybe you've just come back off your summer holiday, you know, and you're ready for starting again. And you're just wondering what is going to hold. In fact, you know, for all of us, things change all the time. You know, life never stays the same. But let's turn to Philippians 3, verse 12, because this is not a new thing. Philippians 3, verse 12. Give me a wave when you've got it. It should come up as well on the screen. And this is the Apostle Paul, and he says this. Not that I have already obtained all of this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. You see, as a Christian, life isn't supposed to be standing still. In fact, if you're sat in church this morning and like nothing's ever changing, God's saying to you, it's time to start looking at your life, because it's not supposed to be like this. Life is supposed to be a journey. We're supposed to be like Paul, pressing on into something. There's always something new. There's always something around the corner. You know, you're not supposed to stay the same. We're supposed to be being transformed. And we're on a journey because there's always something to create. There's always something to affect. There's always something to alter. There's always something to do. There's always something that is prepared for us. Because if there wasn't, we would be in heaven. You know, there'd be no point for us being on earth if there was nothing left for us to do. So basically, if you're in this room today, God has got something around the corner for you to do. He doesn't just want you to sit here and just like let it all be soaked in. He wants you to do something, to take some action, and to stand up and start a journey, start being counted. So the question this morning is, are you ready for it? Am I ready for it? You know, maybe some of you are sat there and you've never actually been on like a God adventure. You've never really opened yourself up to God and said, God, I want you to use me. I want you to do something with me. Perhaps there's others of you wondering what the heck I'm talking about. You're thinking, you know what? I just came to find out a bit about God, and this woman's now stood at the front telling me that she should be on an adventure. You know, we're all different, aren't we? Well, maybe if that's you, maybe you just need to take a step towards God this morning, because God is here and he wants to be found. And so if that's you and you're exploring God this morning, my prayer is that, you know, God will just show himself to you this morning in the message, in the worship, just in some way, and just give you a nudge towards him. And at the end, if you want someone to come and talk with you, then, you know, we would love to do that as well. But there's a verse in Jeremiah chapter 29, and it's going to come up as well on the screen behind me. Because God wants you to find him. God wants to be found. God sent his son Jesus to die for you so that you can have a relationship with him and you can get on this adventure. Jeremiah 29 verse 13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." So if you're here this morning and that's you, you know, maybe you don't even need to hear most of the rest of what I'm going to say. You know, just take that thought and just say to God, yeah, I'm here and I'm available. Well, perhaps you've already said that and you're just waiting for the adventure. Well, you know, let's just keep looking. But maybe that's not you. Maybe you've been a Christian for a while. Maybe you've been on an adventure before. Maybe you've seen great things. Maybe you've been in a ministry that has been absolutely amazing. You know, maybe you've seen miracles. You've had incredible things happen in your life. You've seen people find Jesus. You know, you've seen people get hope. You've had your life transformed. But something's happened and something's gone wrong and something's put you off track. Well, God's saying to you this morning, you know, it's time. It's time to get back on the adventure. And I believe that God wants to challenge each and every person here. I don't think there's anybody in here that God isn't speaking to this morning and saying, right, guys, you know, there's something I've got for you. And it's just about listening to him and taking the next step. You see, it's time to get up. It's time to start shaking off the things that are holding you down. And it's time to start looking to God for what he wants to do. So I've got five things that possibly hold us back. Are you ready? Okay. Number one, previous failure. Maybe we tried really well. We tried to do it for God. Maybe we did it really well for a while, but then we messed up. You know, maybe we did something wrong. Maybe we walked into something that wasn't right. Maybe we left a relationship that was right. Maybe there's something that we really feel has been a failure in our lives. Or maybe, you know, we just messed up with God. Maybe we just took our eyes off God. Maybe we denied Jesus. And maybe we're left feeling ashamed. Well, you know what? If that's you, you're not on your own this morning. Peter, one of Jesus's closest friends, even, you know, in the face of what was going on with Jesus when he was being taken away and going to be crucified, he denied Jesus. And, you know, he could have given up and said, oh, I've messed up. There's nothing I can do. I can't change it. I can't get back on the journey. I'm just going to go back to my old life. You know, but Jesus pursued him. And Jesus said, no, you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church. And, you know, Peter went from that place of failure to speaking a message where thousands became Christians. They were, you know, he started that early church because he had a message from God, and he knew that he was forgiven and that God loved him, and God, that passion that he knew and that relationship that he knew with Jesus, he passed on. And God is saying to you, if that's you this morning, you know, don't let a past failure hold you back, because it only has the power over you that you allow it. You know, as soon as you take it to Jesus, you start looking to him, that power is broken. So if that's you and you're living with a past failure, then it's time to start looking to Jesus. Secondly, a past hurt. Perhaps someone has hurt you. You know, perhaps you were doing great. You were having a great life in church. Maybe it was even a Christian. You know, maybe it's even someone that you respected, and then they hurt you and you've struggled to forgive them and you can't actually get past what it is that is there. Maybe you've held offense. Probably the other person has totally forgotten about it, but you just can't get over it. You know, maybe that's you, and maybe that is stopping you from being on the adventure with God. Well, God is saying to you this morning, it's time. It's time to let go. Now, I'm not talking about something that's just happened, because I do believe there's a process we go through. And I believe if someone hurts you, there's a kind of a, almost like a grieving process. Because if you've had a close friendship with someone, you've got to work through that. And I believe that God, you know, is very patient and gives you time for that. But I believe at some point, it's time to let go. And it's time to just look back to God for what he has for you. It's time just to just say, that's the end of it. And to receive that forgiveness and to allow that forgiveness to flow through you. So if it's a past hurt, maybe God is saying to you now, let go. And that's what you need to hear this morning. It's time to let go. Thirdly, maybe you're blaming God for something. You know, sometimes we can pray and and we really feel like God's going to come through for something, and he doesn't, and we don't understand. And maybe, you know, it knocks us and it takes us off this adventure and it takes our eyes off God because we can't quite get through this thing that we really were convinced that God was going to do for us. I mean, maybe we even told everyone, I'm a Christian and I believe that God's going to do this. And maybe he hasn't done. And maybe, you know, you're holding it against God and you're saying, God, it's not fair. It's not fair. Well, this morning, God just wants to put his arms around you and he wants to love you through that season. But he wants to tell you, you know, there's an end to that. And actually, he's there and he's encouraging you. You know, like a dad, he's encouraging you. He's saying, come on, it's time. It's time. Just let it go. I love you and I've got a plan for you. And God is saying to you, if that's you, you know, it's time to stop. Stop blaming God and just start looking to him because he's there with open arms. You know, if you read the story in the Bible of the prodigal son, you know, the son went away and did his own thing. He did whatever he wanted, spent all the father's money. And then he came back to his dad, and his dad wasn't blaming him. His dad was there with his arms open, receiving him. And that is God. And God's saying, you know, okay, you know, you don't agree, you don't understand, and I can't even help you understand, but all I want to do is love you through it. And God's saying, if you will let me, then I will do it. Okay, fourthly, some of us are held back by fear of failure and lack of confidence. You know, we think everyone else can do it. The other people are gifted, other people can do this, but I can't do it. You know, there's nothing within me that is any good. All I'm good for is coming and sitting, keeping quiet, and then leaving again because there's no part, there's no place for me in this house. But God says, I formed you. I made you. I knew you when you were in your mother's womb. You know, I created your very inmost being. I made you. I have a purpose and a plan for you. And maybe this morning you need to hear this from Joshua 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And if you're struggling with failure, this with a fear of failure or a lack of confidence this morning, God wants you to hear that. You know what? It's not about you, but God has given you this courage and strength. And he says, don't be terrified. I am with you. And God wants you to know this morning that he is with you. He wants you to get on the adventure and he's not going to let you down. Be bold and courageous. Okay, lastly, lack of time or priorities. So perhaps you feel like you meet yourself coming back. You know, you can just about get everything in the diary and then you collapse into bed at night. And you'd love to be on this adventure with God. You'd love to be doing something for him, but it just doesn't work in your life. And you know, sometimes we go through seasons that are full on, and what I'm saying this morning is not denying that, because I think there are seasons, but you know there's seasons, and then when you go to your diary, you can usually plan out of seasons. Does that make sense? So if you're in a busy season, if you're in a season, so Ed and I talk about this often, you know, we can say, oh, it's not fair, we can't do this today, but we can't say in a month's time it's not fair, or 2 months' time, or 3 months' time, because there's decisions that we can make in our lives now that are going to affect our lives in a month's time, or 2 months' time, or even in a year's time sometimes. So, you know, in January, we looked at our diaries, as we often do, and we decided that, you know, we wanted to give more into this house. And so we decided together that I would finish working for the bank. And so we planned it. Now, this is January, and we plan to finish in September. So this is a good chunk of time because I want to give 100% of my life to this house and to serve in this house. And, you know, that's not everyone's call to do that. You know, and you are called to be teachers and financiers and mums and nurses and trainers. And, you know, we're all called to have different roles, but we are called to sow something into God's house. And we are called to spend time with God. And so they're really key things that we need to look at prioritizing. So some questions for you. Because you know what? Our bank accounts and our diaries show the things that are important to us. If you look at my bank account, you know what's important to me. You know, you look at my diary, you know what's important to me, because it just, what you want to do, what is passionate in your heart is what you do have time for. So some questions. What do I really want in my life? What are the things that you want to count in your life? What do you want your life to count for? You know, in a few years' time, what do you want people to look back and go, yeah, that's what that person was to me, or that's what that person meant? What are the essential things only I can do? What is it that only you can do, that no one else can do for you? What are your priorities? One of the speakers at the conference I went to, the Global Leadership Summit, said these words, and they really stuck with me. He said, we only have one life, and when our time has gone and our life is celebrated, written on our gravestone will be two dates, and these dates will be joined by a dash. And that dash will represent my life. And it's what we do with that dash that counts. You know, it's that in years to come, people look back and go, that person did this, or that person, you know, like Rick said, I love what Rick said, wherever Rick is now, you know, that I've been here 10 years and there's all these people that have sown into my life. And that's what I want people to say about me. That's what, you know, that's what we want, isn't it? We want to make a difference and we want to be on this journey. So guys, it's time to get on the adventure. It's time to get off the sidelines. It's time to get off the bench. Now, I'm not a great sportswoman, you know. Many of you, if you are anything but close to me, you would know that I like skiing, because you get to go down the hill and you get taken up the hill. And the fun bit is going down the hill. And I like that. But I do know a little bit from hearing stories and watching the telly a bit about sport. And if you are injured or if you are not playing your game well, you get put on the bench. Is that right? In football or rugby, I guess. You should be really badly injured in rugby. But you get to sit on the bench, don't you? And you sit on the bench for a while, but you're not supposed to stay on the bench. You're on the bench for a season. And I believe that some of us, you know, we are on the bench because we need that time out, but there's an end to that season. And it's time to start getting off the bench. So if those things are holding you back and you've heard those this morning, then I just want to encourage you, take the one thing that is God is speaking to you about and take it away, take it home, and do something about it. Let's get off the bench. So, the Bible says that we are a body. So we've already talked about the things that hold us back. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says that we all need each other. It says this. In a second. It says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body, so it is with Christ. You see, we're a body, and we're all needed to play our part. And when one of us is missing, it's like walking around with no arms. And it's a bit daft, isn't it, really? But we all need each other. So as we get off this bench, you know, let's be thinking about the part that we're playing and do the thing that we can do, because we all need each other. I need you, and you need me. So we need to be ready to be part of this body, to play our part, and to be on this adventure. So how can we be ready? Now, the first thing that I want you to tell you about being ready, can you all see me? I've got a nice little chair here. It's great. And while we were away at Willow Creek, Bill Hybels had been doing, I think he's been talking a long time about it, to be honest, but he'd done something particularly to the youth. And there was a recording that we've seen, and it talks about chair time. And I mentioned it at briefing this morning, because when I was preparing my message, I don't have dreams. You know, you hear a lot in the Bible about dreams and visions, and I'm not the kind of person that has lots of dreams and visions. But God really disturbed my spirit, and I woke up one morning with this really vivid memory of a dream. And God was saying to me, you know, we need to have time with him more. And we all know that, but Bill Hybels calls it chair time, which is why I've got the chair here. Because at home I have it's a windowsill actually I sit on, and I've put some cushions on it because we've got big walls, and I sit in the window and I look out at my garden, and I'll sit there and I'll put my iPad on and I'll listen to a worship song. that helps focus my mind. Then I'll read my Bible and I'll spend time with God. And then I'll just give him my day and I'll pray about the things that are on my heart and about church and about, you know, you guys and about whatever it is that I'm thinking about. And I'll invite God into my day. And I just really felt that God is saying this. You know, it's like Ed said last week, people, we know what to do. It's just, we just have to do it, don't we? And if we want the power of God in our lives, guys, we need to get that chair time. We need to find that place. I don't know if you can even think in your mind, where do you have time with God? You know, if you can't, then maybe you need to find one. You know, maybe you need to get a chair, or maybe it's in your room when there's no one else there, or, you know, maybe it's even in the bath if it's the only place that you get peace and quiet. I have a friend who used to go and have her quiet time in the bath because it was the only place the kids didn't go. And sometimes life is like that, but it's find that place. You know, if you want to go on the God adventure, find that place with God. Find the time with him and decide to do it. Find the time reading the Bible, reflecting on it, you know, finding out, what does this mean? You know, do you know what the Bible means? Do you know what it says? And is it alive in you? So do that. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16 says, we have the mind of Christ. But you know, we won't have the mind of Christ if we don't spend time with him. I arrived this morning and Olga is my PA and a good friend, and we were wearing exactly the same clothes. If I put the jacket on and put her next to me, she was like my twin. And I got a bit of a black and white theme, isn't there? But apart from that, in many ways. But you know, when you spend time with people, they become like you. And when you spend time with God, you become like God. And you reflect his glory and his presence. And you become more centered, and you can deal with the things that life throws at you. Let's make chair time a priority. And then as the band come up, a couple of other things. Secondly, in the how we can be ready, is be a quick learner. If there's something that you keep doing and messing up, Ed said it last week, just stop it. And I heard a great story while we were away by Dr. Henry Cloud, and he told a story about of somebody was walking along the street, and they were walking along the street and they fell into a hole. And they got up and they dusted themselves off and they carried on. And then the next day they went down the same street, so I'll go back in the same street, and they walked down the same street and they fell back in the hole again. So they got up and they dusted themselves on. I guess they looked around a bit. And then the next day they walked down the street again. And they were walking and they saw the hole this time. And they were looking really carefully. But they got a bit close and they fell into it. The next day they walked down. So this is the fourth time. They walked down the street again. And they saw the hole and they avoided the hole and they went around it. The fifth day they got out of bed, got out of the house and they walked the other way. So this morning, if you want to be on God's adventure and you know there's some things hold you back, you know, the Bible says there's no temptation that we can't bear, but we have a way out. And the way out, guys, the way out is to walk the other way. So if you're falling in a hole of something, you know, if you're struggling with something, then just walk the other way. You know, if you're struggling with self-harm and you know there's something that tempts you to do it, then stay away from those things. You know, if you're struggling with overeating or whatever that is wearing you down, then don't put the chocolate in the cupboard. You know, there's things we can do, isn't there, to help ourselves. And that's the second thing I think God's saying. And then finally, the last one. Make being in his house with his people and serving him a priority. Because if you want to go on a God adventure, you need people with you. You know, you need, if you're in a war or if you're in like the Olympics or any great feat or venture, you know, you don't do it alone. You do it with other people who are holding your arms up, other people who are supporting you, other people who are in the race with you. And God is saying they're here. You know, it's time to get in. It's time to be part of that body, not to let the body have the arms off, but to embrace it and to get back in with it. You know, it's time. It's time to make his house a priority. It says in the Bible, if you're faithful with the little, then God will entrust you with much. You know, sometimes we want to do all the big things and we want to do all the great things. But you know what? Sometimes the journey just starts with something small. And it starts just with saying yes to God. So I don't know what adventure God is calling you on this morning. I know he's calling all of us on it. And I don't know what God has said to you this morning. What are the things that I've been talking about? God has prompted you, but I know that God has had something for you. So I'm just going to ask you to stand up and just ask the question, you know, will you be faithful with the things that you have? Are you prepared to do what God is asking you to do? To let go of the things that you've been holding on to? You know, perhaps the fear of failure. You know, whatever it is that God has challenged you on this morning, just with your eyes closed in an attitude of prayer, just put your hands out and say, God, you know, whatever it is that you're asking me to do, just show me and help me to walk in it with you. Because if we're going to do something with God, we're going to go on a great adventure with God, we have to take the first step. We have to be the one that says, God, I'll do it for you. You know, God won't make us. He's just asking. And this morning, God is just asking you, you know, will you open up your heart to me? Will you give me that time, that chair time every day? You know, will you let me empower you and enable you to become all that I know you can be? You know, the biggest untapped potential is in humankind. There's so much more that we can do than we can ever imagine. We have the mind of Christ.